So this is the classic MIMD distributed memory architecture, which we've already shown. A bunch of processors, they have their own memory, there's some communication network. And of course I said that architecture is going out of fashion, except it isn't really. Because just at the same time that closely coupled machines are becoming shared memory, the most interesting machines, period, I think most people would view as clusters of computers. So I just noticed that Todd Olson announced that our cluster of 8 Sun Ultra Spark 2 systems is available and operational. So that, you know, MPAC chose to get us its next systems, clusters of Suns, shared memory SGI, and it will get a cluster of Windows NT PCs. So I guess we believe that the most interesting machines of the future, although there's going to be some role for central shared memory systems for really compute-intense problems that need that close coupling, the most interesting machines will be networks of workstations or networks of personal computers, which networks will become equivalent because workstations and personal computers are more or less the same thing. And so it's sort of ironic that that's just as the SP2 becomes itself an uninteresting architecture as a closely coupled distributed memory machine, it is actually the best model of the most important architecture, which is what I call the informal supercomputer, a cluster of system machines. So we see these two contradictory trends. So it's actually quite nice. It means that we can take everything we learned from distributed memory machines like the SP2, compiler technology, algorithms, but now apply it to networks of systems. And then we need to enhance that knowledge to apply to distributed shared memory to see where the special performance of high performance functionality of distributed shared memory machines can be automatically exploited to get improved performance on such systems. So the net result of this, in some sense, is that none of our work is wasted. Everything we learned, but they're just going to be targeted at different types of machines. The distributed memory work is going to be targeted at the more heterogeneous systems. The shared memory system is going to actually have to be extended to cope with the extended memory hierarchies you'll see on these distributed memory systems. So in each case we have more challenges because the network of workstations will have high latencies and sort of heterogeneous and complicated. So we're going to have to go from elegant, simple things like the SP2 to a more complicated, heterogeneous environment with that technology. But I see none of the work that's actually being done up to now, in some sense, as being phased out. It's just being redirected as these architectures are changing. And actually, it's sort of, nobody really knows how people will vote. There is a chance that clusters of workstations will basically supersede these tightly coupled machines, which are these shared memory systems. And that they will, the shared memory large systems from IBM and SGI and Convex may not prove popular because it will turn out the most it could turn out that most applications can be run on clusters of workstations. Because networking technology is getting so much better that these clusters of workstations have very good performance. So that is, I think, unknown. And it's controversial. Nobody really knows how good a performance you can actually get from either of these architectures. We do not know how optimizing compiler technology really works on distributed memory shared systems, nor do we really know how it works on clusters of workstations, because both of these are extensions. So I see these as very important questions which can only be understood by doing a bunch of applications and trying to do better than we did with HPF, namely trying to produce compiler technology that's ready when the user wants it, not 5 years after the user wants it, which is what happened with sort of the previous generation of technology. Well, I pointed out that there's been this trend away from topology as being interesting. You know, it used to be when we first invented the hypercube, people used to wax and write lots of articles about nifty new topologies which had slightly better distance issues. But it turned out it never was important, because even on the hypercube, especially the initial commercial one, the performance was always dominated by latency, which was startup time, which was the sending the message and receiving it. It was never dominated by the transit time. So most of that work, although it was mathematically well-defined, and even intellectually well-defined, when you fed in the realities of software, it was unimportant. And the current trend is the same, that at least for a system sitting in a geographically reasonably close location like, say, MPAC, I don't think network topologies matter too much. Well, of course, it matters if 8 machines have an OC3 ATM and then there's a single Ethernet link to another 8 machines. That topology matters because there's a huge bandwidth issue on the Ethernet compared to the ATM. But I don't think it matters too much if they go through routers, as long as those routers and switches aren't too much of an overhead, because that's up to now, all topology issues have proven to be unimportant because of the dominance, because the network transmission time is not what's the problem. Now, if you have a machine here and a machine in San Diego, then you'll see the transmission time, and so that will then be a topology issue. So the worldwide computer is a topology issue, but it's going to be very difficult to do any, say, closely coupled computation like, say, fluid dynamics on machines which are separated that far apart, because when you look at those algorithms, you need close coupling. They need to be reasonably close to each other to avoid excessive overheads in the message transmission time. You can only really use worldwide separated machine to do applications which have intrinsically loose coupling between components, and so you can afford high latency. Or you need some nifty thread algorithm to hide the latency. But so I would say what really counts is what is the real performance of the network, and what is especially the latency, because it's the old hardware delivered up to now was always performed much more poorly than the advertised performance. You know, Mary Pagani was in raptures when ATM delivers 20 megabits per second out of a total of 150, because at some stages it's down to less than a megabit per second. You know, I mean, these switches can have incredible overheads with today's protocol mismatches and whatever goes on and causes these terrible issues. So until we get to a world where we're dominated by transmission time, network topology turns out to be relatively unimportant. But it is extremely important to address, you know, I mean, to package up your messages, reduce the number of messages, and minimize the bandwidth needed, because these network of workstations tend to have higher latency and lower bandwidth than the dedicated machine. So to be competitive, you have to be very careful about these methodologies to minimize latency and bandwidth, which is really a node issue, not a network topology issue, typically. Although you can always design a terrible topology for which it would be important, but for typical topologies it's not important. Okay, thank you. I say, if some